Wonderful to see everybody today. Hope you have all had a good week this week. It's sure been a full week here. For a week that this is our only time not to have Wednesday night services, we certainly had a full week. Vacation Bible School went very well. And for all of you who prayed for that and took part in making sure it went just right, it really did go just right. We had an opportunity to influence a lot of boys and girls. Our teachers really go all out as far as making sure they've got a class that will catch their attention, that is Bible-based. And so these kids go home, as I mentioned in the bulletin, armed with knowledge that they'll keep for the rest of their lives. And so we are thrilled for that. But thank you, everybody who took part in that. And there were so many. I think we averaged about 30 teens and adults here every day that were taking part, in addition to the nearly 60 kids we had every day. So it was really a really good Vacation Bible School, and we want to pray that they'll continue to be influenced well. If you're visiting today, we're delighted to have you. If you're not visiting today, we're delighted to have you as well. But certainly our visitors we're grateful for. It is good to see Mike and Linda Malone here. If you don't remember, the name doesn't strike a chord of memory. If you remember Linda Sanders, Marcus's sister, she is has been my Mrs. Malone for many, many years now. But good to have them here with us. They're visiting from Lubbock, and enjoy having them here. Y'all get to visit with them if you get a chance. Good to have Susan here with us. And Susan. The Susans are sitting next to each other. But good to have them. And just really a blessing to have each one of you. We had a wedding this week as well. And there's a lot of people that did a lot to make sure that wedding went well. If you were here, then you know I left my microphone on while I was going back to talk with Otto and Blaine just before services. And Carolyn, I had no idea my microphone was on. I was down the hall, and Carolyn comes rushing up just in a panic, going like this. You got your microphone? And I wished I had known and had thought a little bit better, because I could have taken that opportunity to have said, Otto, I beg you, while there's still time, run. But I didn't, which is why I'm alive today, because Jennifer would have skinned me alive, and Otto probably would have too. This lesson is on its time. We've been through a lot in the last few years. It seems like we've been in continuous drought for about 4 or 5 years, and now we're enjoying rain, and we're trying to hustle to try and figure out what we do with mud instead of dust. And so we've had a busy time during that time. We went through a pandemic. I don't think Happy went through it as much as a lot of the other areas did, but a lot of people just kind of shut down for a couple years, and some people still haven't gotten back up to speed again. And some of us, as we go through life, it just is busy. And we keep telling ourselves, as soon as this slows down, as soon as I get all my ducks in a row and everything lined out just right, then I'm going to really be able to get serious for God. And we believe that. I think we're very sincere in that. And it's possible that you may get all your ducks in a row someday, but by that time you'll have geese as well, and you'll have to start with them. My point is, you will never be at a time where it is convenient for you to serve the Lord. This life is a test that is not meant for convenience. God has never desired fair weather servants. He wants people who will serve Him during the good times and the bad as well, and during the busy times, which we all seem to find. Matter of fact, I give myself excuses all the time. I mowed 5 lawns yesterday, and if you have mowed a lawn recently and Happy, you understand you don't mow it once. You mow it twice, because you have to pop a wheelie through the first foot and then set it down and drag it back. And if that looks good, then you can go on to the next. So anyway, by the time I was through with all that, I'd come in early and had worked on my sermon, and I thought, I'm just not going to be able to get a bulletin done today. And then I was reminded, or I'm reminded myself, that this is part of my job. And if I use an excuse for my busyness to not do my job and then get up here on Sunday morning and say, don't use an excuse for busyness, that might not ring quite true. I know I fail in a lot of ways. I'm not by any means boasting. This is more of a confession of my faults. But we are busy. What are you going to do for God anyway? Because someday you will have all the time there is in eternity. Now, I believe that's going to be busy for those who make it, for those who are faithful, who by God's grace are going to be there. But there's also things that we must do. Otherwise, there could be no hell. So the point is it's time right now. When it comes to this, I want to say that we go through patterns. Maybe you don't. I do. Where I'll get busy and I'll say, well, this is going to be done with, and it eventually gets done with, but you're busy again. And it comes as a surprise to us. And so we promise ourselves, we promise God, I will be more serious when I get less busy this next time. I love The University of Hard Knocks. It's a book by a guy named Ralph Parlett. He's got a fancy name for a guy that just had about an eighth grade education. One of the most intelligent books I've ever read. But he talked about a time, I assume he was told about, when he was 2 years old. And he said he reached for a coffee pot. And he got that coffee pot and he poured hot coffee all over himself. And then he said, and he never did that again. Isn't that interesting? A two-year-old has enough sense not to repeat the same thing. But I find myself as an adult repeating the same thing over and over. I keep reaching for coffee pots. And I keep thinking that the outcome will be different. When we talk about it is time, there does come a point where we just have to be honest with ourselves and say, I'm going to do the best I can, and God's going to get the first of the best I can, and I will work out everything else I can, and God will help me do that. Hosea chapter 10, if you'd like to turn over there. Hosea wrote just before the end of the 10 tribes of Israel that had their capital in Samaria, but also a couple hundred years, maybe a little less than that, before Judah, the two tribes, with their capital at Jerusalem, were going to be destroyed. And God sends them this warning. Hebrews 10:12, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unplowed ground, for it's time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness on you. I love that passage. This is a passage we can understand, especially in this part of the world. Break up your unplowed ground. Unplowed ground doesn't do anything. Now, I realize we have CRP right now, and you might be able to get paid a little bit from somebody for not doing anything, but throughout most of history, if you had unplowed ground, it was worthless until you actually broke the ground and planted seed. And so God is having Hosea say, break up your unplowed ground, for it's time to seek the Lord. In verse 13, he says, you've planted wickedness and have reaped evil. You've eaten the fruit of deception. How many times, again, do we reach for those hot coffee pots and we deceive ourselves into thinking this will be good? And we pour it on ourselves and we scream like it's the first time it ever happened. And then we don't do it for a while, and then we sometime later grab that hot coffee. We plant wickedness, and what we reap is evil. Because you've depended on your own strength and on your many warriors, the roar of battle will rise against your people so that all your fortresses will be devastated. And again, just 3 years later, Israel was destroyed. And from this point, maybe 150 years later, Judah was destroyed. But they were depending on their own strength. They were thinking, I've got this to do. Instead of trusting in God, they just did it themselves. Now, we do need to work hard. for physical things. When Paul said, if a man will not work, neither should he eat, this is a scriptural principle we need to understand. But that's secondary. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom. After he'd just gotten through telling him, why are you worrying about your physical things? He wasn't telling them not to work for their physical things. He wasn't saying that the physical things were unimportant. He just said, seek first the kingdom, and these things will be added to you as well. You'll have the time to take care of the things you need to take care of if you'll do it. Imagine this, getting paid on the first of the month, and you go and you cash your check at the bank, and you get in your car and you put that cash in a stack on your dash, and you drive down the street with your windows rolled down, and bills start floating out of the car. And you think, oh, that's too bad. I'll have to remember next time. And then the next month, you cash your check and you put that cash stack of money on the dash, and you go down the street again, and the bills start floating out again. And you think, oh, that's too bad. I'll have to be careful next time. Seek ye first the kingdom means when you get your check for 168 hours at the beginning of each week, that you don't just carelessly cruise through life letting this time get away from you before you have used some of it to serve God. The first part of it, serve God. Because we have bills, we have mortgages and rent, we have utilities, we have food, and we want to make sure those things are taken care of. These are important, but God is vital. And if we use our hours for everything else and then we try and shoehorn Him into the few minutes we have left, it just doesn't work. God doesn't just want your time. He wants the first fruits of your time. And then you can go through life in His service guilt-free because you're doing your best for God. But you're seeking first the kingdom. Luke chapter 13, verse 5 talks about the fact that there is a time limit to all of this. Jesus had just been talking to them about some of the bad things that had happened to different people. And then he points out that they weren't any more wicked than the people standing before him were on that day. As a matter of fact, he said, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. And he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, went out to look for it. Luke 13, verse 6 now. Went to look for fruit on it, but didn't find any. And he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, for 3 years now I've been coming back to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year. I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down. I wonder how many times in life I've come really close to my final year. But I thought I had plenty of time. 3 years doesn't seem like too much time to bear fruit. You'd think you'd have way more time than that, wouldn't you? But Jesus told the parable for a reason, and the reason was this. If you have wasted part of your time, well, that's common to man. But you got to do something about it before it's too late. You don't know when God's going to call you home. So start serving Him now. Not a year from now, not a month from now, not a week from now, but now. And if you and I will give Him the first fruit, then He has promised us, Jesus has promised us, that the other things will be added to us. You will have enough time for these things. But again, the idea it's time to put God first. No place in Scripture, perhaps, is that more clearly pointed out than in Haggai. Haggai chapter 1. If you wonder where Haggai is, just turn to Matthew and start turning back a few pages at a time. You'll eventually run into him. One of the things that got me to thinking about this lesson this week is this. There are times, as a preacher, paid preacher, but also as a shepherd, that I let things get by me. and I'll see people in certain situations that had I been a little more aware, perhaps I could have helped that situation. And again, I want to say, as a paid minister, that's part of what I'm paid to do, but as a shepherd, that's part of what I'm obligated to do. And there are times where I see people in situations and I wonder about it, but instead of inquiring about it, I just let it go and I presume the best, because that's the most convenient for me. You ever presume the best because it's convenient? Oh, they'll be okay. They'll be all right. They're probably saved. Their circumstance is probably right. And then later on, we find out that their circumstance wasn't what it should have been. And sometimes we find out that they might not have been saved. This is certainly God's call. God will make the final judgment. I'm not suggesting for a moment that we enter into God's business of the final judgment. But we are obligated to observe. What is it the Proverbs talk about? If you see it, rescue those who are struggling for death. If you say, I knew nothing about this, does not your Creator know? There's a lot of times I think I see people struggling for death. Oh, they're probably okay. It's not my business. Does not God know? We need to take care of things when the time is available, not when the time's convenient. Haggai chapter 1, the setting for this, Judah has fallen. They've been carried into captivity into Babylon. 90 years has passed, or 70 years has passed, and now they've come back to Jerusalem. And they have the charge to rebuild the temple. Build again, because the old one had been razed to the ground. But they were to rebuild the temple. In the second year of King Darius, Haggai 1:1, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. Just kind of underline this phrase, the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. And look at this phrase. Give careful thought to your ways. You've planted much, but have harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains, bring down the timber, build the house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty? Because of my house, which remains a ruin while each of you is busy with his own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I've called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, whatever the ground produces, on men, on cattle, on the labor of your hands. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message through the prophet Haggai, because the Lord God had sent him, and the people feared the Lord. This is the key. When we are confronted with our failings and we know it's from God, what do? These people obeyed. Haggai, the messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I'm with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people. They came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God, in the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius. So, the first day of the month, June the 1st, by our calendar, you take care of building my house. 23 days later, they've got the materials assembled and they're starting to work. Haggai chapter 2, verse 15 now. Now give careful thought to this. From this day on, consider how things were before one stone was laid on another in the Lord's temple. When anyone came to a heap of 20 measures, there were only 10. When anyone went to a wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were only 20. I struck all the work of your hands with blight, mildew, and hail, yet you did not turn to me, declares the Lord. You ever get that feeling? I can never catch up. Welcome to the club. I'm 61. I cannot speak to 60. Well, actually, I'm 62. Boy, that year got by quick, didn't it? I'm about to turn 63 in just a few days. So I can't speak for those of you who are older than 63. I don't know what happens between 63 and whatever the maximum is, 120, let's say. But I can tell you, for 62, time does not just fall out of the sky. Your opportunity to serve God will not just happen. It's something that you have to premeditatedly do because you love God, because you fear Him, because you believe in His Word. Verse 6, after he talks about that, thinking that everything would get better, but it didn't, he says in verse 18, from this day on, from this 24th day of the ninth month, give careful thought to the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Give careful thought. Is there any seed left in the barn? Until now, the vine and the fig tree, the pomegranate, the olive tree have not borne fruit. From this day on, I'll bless you. Now think about this for a moment. It came to him on the first day of the sixth month. By the 24th day of the sixth month, they were in full tilt work. But for 3 months of full tilt work, they were working and they weren't seeing any blessing as a result of that. 3 months. There are times where God will allow you to work without giving you the instant blessing. Will you be faithful? But then he says this, from this day on I will bless you. This is the thought I want to leave you with. When we say it's not time yet to serve the Lord, God is so affronted by that comment, in this case, that 5 times he said, give careful thought to your ways. If you and I use an excuse, he's going to say to us effectively, think about what you're saying. God gave you life. God gave you breath. God gives you everything you have. We've been blessed with rain, haven't we? By the way, let me point this out. It's just as noble to pray for sunshine when you need it as it is for rain when you need it. God will take care of you. But if you and I wait for our service to Him, then He won't. Because the blessings are reserved for the faithful. Will you serve Him? Can I read one more passage and we'll close? It's found in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we don't give up. Time to get started. It's now, and never give up. We're going towards a harvest that's grand. It's only for Christians. Are you a Christian? If you're not, I'd encourage you to do something about that. Have you been faithful in your Christianity? If not, I'd encourage you to do something about that. If you're ready to become a Christian this morning, we would love to help you. If you need the prayers of the congregation, we'd be honored to do that. But if you have any needs, why don't you come forward and let them be known while we stand and sing.